During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
All right, all right, all right. Yes, we are live out here at Hollywood Casino, the Barstool Sportsbook. And we're here every Monday night throughout the season. This is the KC Legends Show, and I am Bill Moss. Great job, Seren Petro. Always love listening to Seren's show. Very informative, talented, talented interviews. Outstanding. And we're going to continue that right here tonight on the KC Legends Show. Joining me tonight is KC legend Tim Burnett. Timmy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me. Always a great time working with you. Great guy. He was always a fun guy playing with. Sometimes you get a little steamed up, but, you know, you steamed up to roll somebody up, so we knew what you were going to do.
Well, I appreciate that. Let's talk a little bit about this game in the yesterday. It was, you know, disheartening. It was at times tough to watch. I think all of KC felt the frustration in the play of the Chiefs. There's a lot of places to lay blame. You can't pinpoint one thing. Is it Chris Jones? No. Is it the kicker? No. Is it Kelsey's drop touchdown? No. It's not any of those things. It sometimes, Tim, and you know this as a player, sometimes just things go wrong like that. And it's early in the season, and you just got to put it behind you. You can't concentrate on it. You just have to put it behind you. But when you have the muff punt, when you have the drop touchdown pass, when you have missed field goals, when you have a botched field goal attempt, when you – everything seemed to go wrong, and the frustration was growing, and I think you saw it before halftime with Patrick Mahomes. And the fans were frustrated, I can assure you, because I was as I watched it. But this is one is you put this away, and you sweep this under the carpet, and you take what you can from it, and you just move forward because you can't have time to dwell on it. You have to think about getting better. You have to think about the next game. You got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa Bay. Okay, that's a big deal. That defense is for real. Just go back 2 years ago when they were in the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay. That defense is for real. And they did an outstanding job against the Green Bay Packers yesterday as well. So you've got to be able to put all those things behind you and just let's work on getting better. Now, Tim, you saw it. You watched the game. I know you're a student of the game. You know, tell us about, you know, how sometimes these things just occur.
Well, it can happen, Bill. And, you know, a lot of people had a lot of things to say about Patrick and EB, Coach EB.
Yep.
You know, the little conversation right at halftime, right before the half. But, you know, Patrick is a very competitive player. What Patrick wants to do is launch that ball. You know, if he can launch it 50 yards downfield every mm-hmm. time, he would. So, of course, you know, it was a run play. He thought he had an opportunity. He didn't want to leave any points, you know, on the field. He wanted to put them on the board. So, I mean, that's just especially when you're in a tight game like that. You know, it's the guys are – they're playing well. And you know, when we played, when you play a team that doesn't have the type of talent that you have, not saying they're not a good team, but don't have the talent that you have, you seem to come down to their level and play at their level.
That's, yeah.
So I think that was one of the things, too. I don't think it was a fact that the Chiefs was looking ahead to Tampa Bay. You know, you take it one game at a time. And as we've always been told by Marty Schottenheimer, one play at a time, one game at a time. No matter what you do, let it go and go to the next play. Because if you stay stuck on what happened
right.
the play before or the game before, you're going to have some problems down the road.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think another great point you just pointed out in there is just talking about the aspect of sometimes you play to the level of your opponent.
Yes.
And that's a fact. And people would ask, well, how? Why can't you just – it just occurs that way. And then on the good side of it, when you're playing good teams, sometimes the best comes out in you.
Yes.
But that's a great point. But this team, this is two games in a row now where you're looking at about 300 yards of total offense. What was it, 319 and 315?
Yes.
Respectively. Is that, I'm saying not blame, but is that an area looking forward that might be of concern? Where are those yards? I think last year they only had one game in that arena of about 300 yards.
Well, this year you got to look at even the receiving corp. It's a whole new corp. Everybody, with an exception of Mecole Hardman, and so they're learning. Patrick is learning them. They're learning Patrick. Patrick is building his trust in them. They got to do things to make Patrick understand that, hey, I can get open, and I'm going to be there when you need a third and five or third and six. I'll be able to hold on to the ball. I'm the guy that you can go to. So it's just a matter of building trust. And, you know, the 350 yards, it's no need to get worried or about that or anything. I think that's just you're going to have those games. You know, no matter who you are, you know, you're going to have those games. You're going to have those days. You remember back in the days, there's time Michael Jordan might score 15 points, 20 points. And then he'll come back the next week or the next couple weeks and put up 50. So you're going to have those games, and you have to understand the person on that opposing team, they are professionals as well. And they did some things on defense that caught my attention. They know how to play the one over top where you're not getting that deep ball. And now teams have learned how to play that based on teams playing us when we had Tariq here. Mm-hmm. Everybody started playing that one over top where you couldn't get that deep ball. So when you don't get that deep ball, your yard's going to go down, but your completion ratio will still be up. But you're completing smaller, you know, you're down backs and hitting your backs and hitting the little flats, taking what they're giving you. And I think that's what Patrick did yesterday, and that's what he's done the past couple of weeks. Because if you look around the NFL, everybody's trying to stack to play the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep. I'm Bill Moz. This is KC Legends Show. My guest tonight is former wide receiver, Tim Barnett. Tim, tell us a little bit about going back to your days coming out of Jackson State.
Jackson State. There's nothing like Jackson State. Jackson State, if I had to do it all over again, I would go to Jackson State. You know, we were one of – at that conference, we play a lot of man-to-man. There's not a lot of zone. So when I came to the league, that was one of the things I had to get accustomed to, reading this zone, because we always play man-to-man. Deion is doing some great things down there. Got some great talented players. Mm-hmm. They winning some games big, and well, they're a little different than us right now because they're averaging 400 and some yards a game.
They throw it around.
His son's a quarterback, and his son's is shining very well right now. So I'm real excited about Jackson State, and just hopefully we continue to do what we're doing. They produce some great athletes. You know, Sylvester Morris from Jackson State.
Sly Mo.
Sly was here, and Sly told me a couple weeks ago he was here, and he told me, he said he liked me so well, he followed me to Jackson State, and then he followed me to Kansas City, where I said, hey, you're doing the thing, Sly. Thank you.
That's outstanding. Our guest today, Tim Barnett, wide receiver. And, Timmy, going back, talking about that wide receiver core and talking about Patrick and throwing that at the half, you know, we were always taught that when you throw the ball downfield, the odds are in your favor. It's like 3-1. Three good things can happen and one bad thing can happen. You're either going to be incomplete and you line up and go again. It's either going to be caught or it's going to be pass interference. Mm-hmm. And so the odds are huge in your favor. Now, you couldn't get lined up and go again at halftime because it was the last play. But it was still 2-1 odds. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a little bit of the frustration that Patrick says, I always got a chance.
Well, I think, too, Bill, with the fans, and you know, our fans here, they're spoiled. We beat Buffalo last year in 13 seconds. Mm-hmm. 13 seconds. Mm-hmm. So there was about 12, 13 seconds on the clock. So all they're looking at it and all they're thinking, oh, there's no problem because we can do this because we've done it before. But, you know, it happened. We didn't win. And you know what? This is a game that we lost, and I'm glad we lost it early in the year. And I'm glad that most of the teams in our division in our conference lost yesterday. You got Buffalo lost. You got the Chargers lost. The Raiders lost. So even though it was a loss, and, you know, we're so accustomed to winning, And a loss, it hurts so bad here in our city and our fans, because I still say to this day, we got the most loyal fans and the most respectful fans in the entire NFL. You know, NFL, you can go to anyone's tailgate in that parking lot, mm-hmm. and you can say, hey, I'm so-and-so, sit down, eat. What you want something to drink, they want you with them. So we got these fans, and you even have opposing fans from other teams come, and they sit with our fans in tailgate. Yeah. They're in a lot of places. And you know, back in the days, going into Oakland, going into Coliseums, you couldn't do that with the Raiders fans.
No. You'd be scared to.
Exactly.
You know, the wide receiver core, of course, Tim, that was his position, wide receiver. When you see these guys, tell me what you see in Juju. Tell me what you see in Valdez.
I look at those guys, and I look at Juju. Juju is a very – he's a big receiver. He's very physical. I think he's a third-down receiver, even though that's not saying that he's not a first- and second-down receiver, but he's a third-down receiver when you need to run a shallow cross. He can take that and turn it up. Even yesterday, I saw him – he caught a little shallow cross, and he turned it up a little bit. So I was very excited about that. MVS is I think he's at speed that we really like and that we're accustomed to, and it's going to get there. I saw him yesterday. He beat his guys a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Patrick either got rushed or got sacked. But other than that, you know, and McCole, if he's healthy, I don't know if he's hurt or not. I saw him limping a little bit. And, you know, that's you get things that snag you. And, you know, to be a player, little nags, ankle sprains, hey, we went. You know, with Marty, you didn't miss a game. I think my hip was fractured. And I couldn't miss the game. He said, put an extra pad on and you got to go. So that's what we do. And McCole, he's a very good receiver. I think McCole is up there. Actually, and a lot of people might disagree, but I put McCole up there right with Tyreek Hill. Very fast. He will catch the ball. He will score. He will make big plays on you. So you can't sleep on him. So I think the receiving corps and they're going to be pretty good. And if you notice, Patrick is able to use those receivers now and spread that ball around. And I can't say enough about Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Travis is – I think that's a wide receiver in a tight end's body, really. And that's mm-hmm. all it
that's,
is.
That's what he's always been.
Because he catches the ball well. He runs route. As we always say, that young man has a lot of swagger about himself.
He does, and – he can back it up, too. McCole really didn't show up on the game yesterday. He had one reception, one target for 2 yards. Wasn't really a factor. I'm not sure what the situation is with him, but to me, him being out there and extending the field and keeping those safeties deep, that's a big factor on what opens up underneath. And we really didn't get a lot of that yesterday.
Well, a lot of people don't really – what a lot of people look at and say, hey, I saw that big catch. But you know what? You don't – they don't look at when you running a deep post route,
stretching.
You stretching that safety. You taking that safety out of the play. Or you making a big block. You know how Al Saunders had us to block. I mean, we were like linemen. We would hit you quick and fast and in a hurry because that's what we did, and that's what Al expected of us, and that's what he required of us. So in order to be a part of this team – and he told you, you're going to have to block. So we did that. So McCole's doing a lot of other things, and he might not be catching the passes that he wants, but I guarantee you those passes are going to come for him because he's a good wide receiver, and he's a speedy receiver.
I'm Bill Maz. This is the KC Legend Show. Our guest today is former wide receiver Tim Barnett, and he's got some great insight on what we saw yesterday. We're live here at the Legends at Hollywood Casino at Barstool Sportsbook. Come out and join us. We'll be here every Monday night. We'll be back after this. All right, welcome back to the KC Legend Show. I'm Bill Maz, your host, along with former wide receiver Tim Barnett joining us today, one of our legends, one of our Chiefs ambassadors. We are out here live at Hollywood's Casino at the Barstool Sportsbook. What a great place. And, Timmy, this is your first time out here?
First time out here.
What are your thoughts?
Well, I think this is just a Macklin place. When we pulled up, my wife says, wow, well, maybe we need to come out here and eat or something sometime. I said, well, maybe so, because when we pulled up and walked in, it was like we're in Vegas. You know, I mean, it's not just your normal Kansas City casino. It looks like a baby Vegas, you know.
And this sports book is quite a place here. You got all the big screen TVs. You got all the big kiosks around. You just walk right up, place a bet with your finger, and sit down, plop down, order a drink, and watch some games. It's a fun time. We'll be here every Monday night throughout the season. Tim, going back and just recapturing and rehashing out the yesterday's tough, frustrating loss, some of the things you see defensively happening as a wide receiver who watches the game. Of course, I watch it, the interior, the front seven. I watch all the things that go on in there and how that works. But tell me how you view the game and some of the trends and things you're seeing.
Well, Bill, one of the things I watch the route running of the receivers. I watch the running backs. If they're hitting a hole, if you're moving your feet, are you getting in the hole fast enough? And I really watch the secondary to see what they're doing and just how they're playing, and are they being aggressive? Who can get beat? And I saw several defensive backs got beat yesterday, but either Patrick was getting rushed or hurried or getting touched, and he had to get out of there, and he had to make some runs himself, which was great, and he will do what he have to do. But I think we're going to be okay. And even though everyone's saying, well, that's Indianapolis. Indianapolis is a great team. Indianapolis has a great quarterback in Matt Ryan. I remember the years when Matt Ryan will kill you down in Atlanta with Julio Jones. So he's a very good quarterback. And, you know, they had a good team. That, like I said before, they're professionals just as the other guys. So, you know, one of the things Lamar Hunt used to always say, you got to remember that those guys on the other mm-hmm. Side, they are professionals just like you. So when you go in there, it's just like a chess match. You want to see who's going to make the least amount of mistakes. That's who's going to win. You can't turn the ball over by no means. You'll put yourself in a bad situation early if you do that. And, you know, I still say, and I told my wife, I didn't really get upset about this loss. Even though I hate to lose, if we got to lose, this is when I want to lose. Early in the season, all our division opponents, they lost yesterday. Everybody except Denver. And, you know, that was an ugly win, very ugly win, but it's a win. So, you know, my hat goes off to Nathaniel Hackett. It's funny, Nathaniel Hackett used to carry my shoulder pads and helmets, and now he's a head coach. Right? How about that?
Yeah. He was here, right?
Yeah.
His dad was here.
Yeah, his dad. When Paul was offensive coordinator and Nate was here in every training camp. So just you feel good to see someone that you know that has climbed up the ladder and – now doing things just like Brian. When Brian Schottenheimer was mm-hmm. offensive coordinator in Seattle, I said, Brian used to carry my helmet. And you know, here's a guy that's coaching, and Brian's probably going to be a head coach someday, I'm sure. You know, it just makes you feel good. But, you know, I think we'll be okay. And there's still a lot of trust factors with the offense. And Patrick, you know, he's been with the same group of guys ever since he's been here. Mm-hmm. So when you begin to mix that up, your guy's not here who you can always depend on, you know what? Hey, it's going to get there. It might take a few games, but we're going to get there. And I believe with all my heart that when it's time to go against a very aggressive defense, a very aggressive team, we will rise for the occasion.
You're going to see that this week.
Oh, yeah. Tampa Bay has an excellent defense, and I think it's going to be good for us. And if they play the one over top like they did in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, you know, Patrick just takes what's given to him, and he'll make plays. And Patrick is one of them. He's a competitor. No matter what, he's going to fight to the end. And, you know, there's frustration when things don't work your way. But you know this, Bill. In professional sports, we sit there, we look at this on the board, we look at this on film over and over and over. And sometimes when guys don't do what they're supposed to do, what you've seen on film, you'd be like, hey, hold up, they didn't do what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But you just have to make adjustments. That's the way you become a professional. You have to make adjustments on the go. So I think we do well with that. Yesterday we just played a little flat, and it's going to happen sometime. And again, thank God it wasn't anyone in the AFC West, but – We'll be fine.
You know, only 58 yards rushing. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a net of 0 yards gained yesterday. When you mentioned you watched the route running and you watched the way the backs run and how they hit the hole, what are you seeing there?
Well, Clyde is hitting the hole, and you know, Clyde is a very strong running back. You have I will put him and McKinnon and Jones like thunder and lightning. So Clyde is hitting the hole hard. He's getting in there, but you know they stacked a little bit. They stacked to cut out that run yesterday. And you know the run is very complimentary to the pass. I mean, we need that run to go in order to get the pass, play mm-hmm. actions and all, yep. just everything, because when they're looking for the run. So I think Clyde's running hard. Jones, McKinney is running hard. So those guys just continue to do what they're doing. It's going to happen. You know, you're going to have those games where, you know, Bill, I had games before where I might have caught two balls. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you
but go, you were blocking good.
I was blocking good, exactly. I was blocking good. So, you know, you got to play to your advantage and your strength at what you can do. And during that time, it's not going to always be where you're going to catch 50 yards passes, bombs for touchdowns. You're going to have to block. You're going to have to get in the grinds of it. It's going to be hard. You're going to leave that game with a headache, and you're going to have to let it go after that and start over again with the next week. You know, even if we had won, we got to let it go, go to the next week, and be ready for the next opponent. Now, who did we play last week? Yesterday, I don't even remember. I'm thinking about Tampa Bay right now.
Yeah, and you have to. That's going to be a big one down there. Be interesting to see how that pans out. It's always tough going down there to anywhere in Florida in September. Yeah. And then couple that with the Hurricane Ian going through there. Who knows what the conditions are going to be like. It'll be interesting to see. I'm sure Andy's going to do everything he can to have his guys ready to go. Let me tell you a bright spot. A bright spot to me is this defense. This defense has changed overnight from last year to just like the year before the offensive line changed. This is what I'm seeing with the defense. We had three big starters out yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. You had Dannon out, you had McDuffie out, and we had Willie Gay out. Mm-hmm. This defense plays. They get around. The backup who came in to replace Willie Gay led the team in tackles. With
Harris.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you see guys flying around. I like the Watson kid. He's young. He'll make a couple of mistakes, but he's aggressive, and he's a battler. He puts it behind him. He gets back out there and lines up, and he goes after somebody again. George Karlaftis, we've had some flashes with him. I think he struggled a little bit yesterday. Didn't see much of him, but we've seen what he can do, and we've seen his dogged determination. The front has just it's reinvented itself. Carlos Dunlap has really been a factor. You know, here's a guy. It's been around. He's one of the most active sack leaders in pro football right now. I think he's got 98 sacks, and he still has gas in the tank. This wasn't a guy they just picked up that was washed out. He can make some plays. The youth in the secondary, the depth in the secondary. I think it's the best it's been in the Andy Reid era. So there's a lot of upside on this defense, and Spagnuolo is just going to get these guys getting better and better week in and week out as the season goes on.
Well, this defense is very strong. You got the Frank Clarks and Dunlap, actually. And, you know, you get a little confused now with a defensive end wearing a single
six,
number.
I know.
So it throws you off because when I saw him in the first game, I said, where'd they get this kid from?
That's right.
And that's not a kid. That's a grown man that's been in the league for a while now. So
the numbers messed me up, too.
Yeah, he's very aggressive.
32 at linebacker.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Nick 30, Bolton? I mean, it throws me off every time I look at it.
Yeah, and it throws you off with these singles numbers. But, you know, they're having fun. And these guys are flying around. I see Frank Clark has dropped some weight, which mm-hmm. has made him a little bit faster. I see he got a sack yesterday. He got around pretty good. I watch him a lot. And Frank's been aggressive. And Chris Jones, you know, even though he got a flag yesterday toward the end, but Chris Jones is just a phenomenal player all around. And the guy – it's hard to think that Chris Jones will get mad because whenever you talk to him, he always got a smile. He's always smiling. I mean, you guys never smile, you know, when I think about it. You, Dan Salamore,
Neil,
Derek. Nobody never smile. Y'all are like these guys are always mad. So, but the Chris Jones, he's always smiling. He likes to joke and he has fun. And I don't think he was, even yesterday with getting that penalty, I don't think that was something that he intended to do. You know the deal. We out there, you talk. You talk to guys
sure.
all the time.
Yeah, everybody's talking to everybody. And most of the time, it's not real nice.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll help a guy up. Sometimes you'll say, hey, great job, good play, or whatever. But for the most part, I mean, when you're going after each other all the time, you don't like something, holding or all kinds of things, you're going to jar. You're going to jaw. And that penalty, I was surprised. What surprised me about it is that, you know, normally if you're going to say something and be mad, your whole body is going to be speaking as you're yelling, right? Mm-hmm. You'll see it. You didn't see any of that expression. You didn't see a vein sticking out his neck as he's screaming at somebody. He just said something in the conversation going back and forth with Matt Ryan. But here's the thing. Was it really worthy of a penalty that changed the course of a game?
Well, the thing is, it's a no-win situation because I don't really know what was said, but you know, really what you just talked about, where your body action, I think you were speaking about you, Bill, really, mm-hmm. back in the days. But actually, both of them was John. You know, I've caught passes on defensive backs and say to them, hey, you need some jelly with that toast because I'm coming again. And they say something, and, you know, it's just – it gets you through the game, you know, and you're having fun. And I don't know what Chris said to the quarterback, but, you know, hey, they thought it was a chance that they need to throw a penalty, and that's where the refs try to control the game. And if they think it's going to get out of control, they will control it. So that's the thing. The ref was taking control of the game. You know what? And that's not the reason we lost the game. That's just one penalty that people would think about. Well, if he hadn't got that penalty, we would have. What if? So you can't dwell on that. Like we said in the beginning of this show, we have to go to the next play, let it go. Because if Chris go in next week's game in Tampa Bay thinking about, well, I said that and I got this penalty that cost us the game, guess what? He won't have a good game. He's going to play flat. But I'm sure Chris is going to take that, and he's going to come out with a smile.
Motivate him.
Yeah, it'll motivate him. He'll use that as motivation, and he'll come out with a smile and go at the quarterback.
He is Tim Barnett. I am Bill Moss. This is the KC Legends Show, and we are live at Hollywood Casino. We'll be back after these messages right here on 810 WHB. All right, welcome back to the KC Legends Show. I'm Bill Maz. We're out here live at Hollywood Casino. We're out here every Monday night. And Josh Briscoe will be out here every Thursday night for Thursday night football as well. And given the weekend I had betting, this is probably the last place I should actually be right now. It was a rough weekend. Timmy, are you a gambler?
No, not exactly. I will bet my sons on the games. And we just a friendly bet. I'll send mines in to them. Every team that I think is going to win. And ironically, Chiefs are the winners every week on there. No matter what, I'm a ride or die with the Chiefs. But, you know, my wife was looking at all the slot machines that was coming in.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of keep a good eye on her because she might want to hit those slot machines before we go.
Guys, come on up and register here. We've got some Ray-Ban sunglasses to give away, some T-shirts, some free koozies. Anybody in the sports book here can stop right up here to the table and just fill out a little card there and get you a prize. So what do you think about tonight's game coming up, Tim? You'd mentioned we were looking here at all the television screens around and we're watching the pregame shows and with Dallas Cowboys and at the New York Giants for the NFC East. Giants off to a good start. Cowboys, it's either a pick 'em or they're getting 1 point, is the latest I've seen. What do you see in these two teams?
Well, I see the Giants very determined. You know, Jones, their quarterback, Daniel Jones, have struggled the last couple of years. Dak Prescott's out, so, and this guy.
Cooper Rush.
He's out there and he don't have anything to lose. So the last game I saw, I said, "Oh, he's letting it go and he's ripping it out there." But I really think Dallas, they're not going to be able to compete with the Giants tonight. The Giants are at home. The Giants are 2-0. They're excited and they feel. And you know, when you begin to believe that you're okay and you can do okay, you will be okay. And so I think the Giants are going to have an advantage with their fans tonight. With Jones, I think Jones is a little bit better than Cooper Rush, a little bit more experience. But if I had to pick one and I had to bet and go with one tonight, I will go with the Giants.
Okay, you sold me. I'm going for the Cowboys. You know, just watching this, Mike, I watch Micah Parsons play, and that's a guy that, speaking of New York, reminds me a lot of LT. He can totally just take over a game. And he's been so dominant through his first year and into the third game of this year. There's something special about that guy. It'll be interesting to see. Now, I believe that the New York Giants are bought into their coach. Yeah. I believe wholeheartedly they're bought in. But a lot of their stuff revolves around their running back. They've got to get Saquon Barkley going. And if he goes, then Daniel Jones becomes a much better quarterback. If he's not going, Daniel Jones doesn't look like a good quarterback.
Well, I from watching those first two games, I think Barkley is back at where he was when he first came into this league, a very strong, powerful running back. And what you said was absolutely right. Daniel Jones has to rely on Barkley running that ball, because when Barkley runs that ball, they're gonna stack that front. And when they stack that front, he can use the play action or whatever he needs to use to make big plays. But when you talked about Michael Parsons reminds me of LT and Derek Thomas.
And DT.
And you put them in a bag and shake them up, and you come up with Michael Parsons. And he's just a beast. And his motors, he goes every down. He don't take plays off. So, now, I did pick the Giants to win, but I also will say that Michael Parsons will have a big game. Oh, you're gonna have to always try to double him. You're gonna always have to know where he is, and every quarterback will go in point because they want you to know where Michael Parsons is, because he's coming. You know he's gonna do whatever he can do to get to you, but I think he'll be chasing Daniel Jones and Barkley will be running downfield with it. So I'm gonna go with the Giants tonight.
And you know what it means to be a wide receiver and the play action and how it all evolves and how it helps you as a receiver. When you had a big running back in Christian Okoye, you're handing the ball off, you're pounding, and what's that like when you know that they've got to be focused to stop the run first, and you know you're dialed up a play action?
Well, it really helped us a lot, and we had a quarterback, especially my rookie year, Steve DeBerg. Steve DeBerg was so good with the play action. You know it's a play action. He run the play action, and sometimes you take a play off because you think, okay, that's a run. Running back got it. He gave it to the running back, but he was just that good with it. But, Christian would fall 4 yards. He was a big back. He'd pound you, and they wear you down. So that's how we got a lot of our passes that we got, the slants. And you have to rely on that, you know. And once that happened, and once you start passing, guess what? You're compensating one another. Then those running backs are going to – those holes are going to open up, you know, and they'll be able to jump. And Barkley does that well. So, again, I'm going with the Giants tonight.
There you go. So tell me, Tim, what does Tim Barnett do with his time now that you're out of football?
Right now what I'm doing, I'm playing a lot of golf. Just started taking up golf maybe a couple of years ago. I started –
Really?
Yeah, started wanting to do something. So I started going to Golf Tech, taking lessons. And I was a little fearful at first of getting out with the guys because, you know, an athlete, you want to be able to master something before you go out and show somebody what you got. So I've done it. I felt that I'm ready now. And now I go out and play. I played in a tournament today, Duran Cherry's tournament, which was great weather, great tournament. I hit the ball well. So I feel good about that. I do some traveling with my wife. We do things together. Just enjoy life now. That's what it's about now.
You're a member of the Kansas City Chiefs Ambassadors. You came on board with us a few years back. And tell us about the things you do with the Ambassadors and what it means to you.
With the Ambassadors, we have a lot of different appearances that we are required to do. We do a lot within the community, giving back to schools, different projects, Camp Quality. There's so many people that we do help. And sometimes you don't have to give any type of monetary gift. You can just go give your time to someone. It means the world to them. So we do a lot. We do a lot as for helping Patrick when he does his eyeglass clinic. He can't be there. So that's where we have to step in and do things for them. We make sweet visits on Sundays at the game. It's a lot of – matter of fact, you and I just made one. What game was that?
The Chargers game.
Yeah, the Chargers game. Mm-hmm. We made sweet visits together. The Chargers game. So we do a lot, and it require a lot. But you know, you're giving back to the community, and you're seeing people that really need. And if you can help them in any kind of way, you know, do it. And that's what I believe. If you can help, help. If you can be a part of the solution, do that. Just don't be a quitter. Be a part of the solution. Continue to go and push and push and help as much as you can.
That's beautiful. You know, Big Brothers Big Sisters are one of our partners as well, and we work in conjunction with the Kansas City Chiefs outreach department, public outreach department, where you can imagine they get inundated with requests to do things. And we have the ambassadors here that they're all formed Chiefs alumni is what they are, and we have 52 members, all the players that stayed here in town after playing for the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're in this community. They've been giving back for decades. We're in our 31st year right now, and you know, we give away about over $100,000 a year to the community, to the children in Kansas City. And I've been at it for a long time too, and I really enjoy the connection and the camaraderie with the guys. It's important. It's a really fun thing to be a part of and try to help to give back. And Duran's been an integral part of it too. This is Duran Cherry Foundation, the things that he's done. We've worked in conjunction with him on a lot of deals. So, and that was a great tournament you had today.
Oh, yeah. And, Bill, you know, actually we're the only team in the NFL that has an ambassador group.
Yeah.
The only team.
Yeah.
And when I talk to other players from other teams, they'd be like, wow, you guys have what? We're the Kansas City ambassadors. We're ambassadors of the Chiefs. And they'd be like, wow, I wonder why we haven't or could we do something like that? I said, well, you just get with your organization and see if you can get it worked out. I think Walter White started this organization, and Walter's gone on now. May he rest in peace. But, you know, we do a lot. We have guys. Bobby Bell. Bobby Bell's way up in age, but you know what? He's very active. You see him
really
in meetings.
Active,
you see him in meetings. He was on the golf course today, and you know, Bobby, he's doing a lot, and that's what we do. And we enjoy doing it. We enjoy meeting together, breaking bread together.
We
always eat. We eat real good, and we always have a lot of fun together. But in the course of us having that fun, we also take care of business. We make sure that there's anything that's going on in the NFL that we need to know about, Dana Hughes, make sure we know that. And we appreciate him. Sean Barber, great guy, which is the president, works extremely hard. Matter of fact, I think you're the what's your title again?
Partnership.
Partnership. Partnership. He's over the partnership committee. And it's always something there, somebody that we can help, something that we can do. And guys always bring their ideas. And you know what? Nobody's idea is never kicked aside and say, I don't like that. Everybody's idea is taken as their idea, and when they bring it, let's do it, let's work together with it.
Yeah, it's great, and we meet once a month, and we talk about the charitable requests we get every month. Since I've been there, I don't think one has been turned down.
Never.
We've always vote yes, and we find the way to raise the money and get to those needs to the kids that need it.
Well, Bill, we even had a situation, you know, because the people we help are normally 501c3.
Yep.
We had a local high school here that needed some things. We couldn't help them through the organization. But what we did, we put money together, and I think Tim Grunhard headed this, and we put enough money together – more than what they needed to get the things that they needed and had money left over to do things
later
on for
them. Center High School, right?
Yes, yes. And, you know, that
was jerseys and sport coats to travel for game day stuff. A uniform, right?
Yep, exactly. So, all it took is one text to a guy saying, hey, let's put together money. And it was ringing like, hey, I got this, I got this. And we got more money than we expected to get for that. And, you know, that's just telling you the type of guys that we have here, and we're willing to help. And it's not just using the money that's raised on different things. That's our own money that we went into our own pockets and got and gave to these kids to make sure they can have the things that they need to make them successful. And as long as they have all the things they need to make them successful, they should be successful.
You're enjoying this, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Where are you off to next? Where's your next trip?
Actually, my wife and I are going on a little trip tomorrow. So we're going to spend some time together and, play golf today.
I'll leave here. I'm going to go hang out. I think I'm going to meet Sean and the guys for a little bit, hang out for a little bit, and then I'm going to go home and get some rest and be ready to roll tomorrow. But we just like to, as they always say, you come here, you become a member of a team. You become teammates. Mm-hmm. When you leave here, you've bonded a family, and we're all like a family. You know that. You can pick up the phone and call anybody and say, hey, can you do this? Can you do this? If I can't do it, I can find somebody that can do it for you. But more than likely, we can do it. You know, so we just work together. We do a lot of positive things. We just got to keep going.
You know, I remember Walter White, he went to Carl Peterson with just an idea. Mm-hmm. Said, hey, we've got a bunch of guys that live here in town. And, you know, Buck Buchanan was part of it at the time. And, you know, and he went to him and Carl said, yeah, how can I help? And then they put this vision together, the two of them. I had lunch with Carl the other day. They put this vision together, and it turned into what it is today, and it keeps growing. And the guys, even if they're out of town, like Priest Holmes, right, or Christian Okoye out in L.A., even if they're out of town, they're still jumping on a phone call or talking or conversing on our little group talks and chats.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a bond that it's very special, and it doesn't matter what years. You know, it doesn't matter. We've got them going back to the 60s. We've got an original Dallas Texan that's still a part of it, Jerry Cornelius.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what years you played, if you played with them or didn't play with them. I mean, when we get together, it's all the same. Mm-hmm. All that other stuff goes out the window.
And, you know, it's funny when you say Jerry is probably one of the oldest ambassadors.
He is.
But just today, Jerry had me laughing. Jerry was on the golf course. And Jerry was on the greens, and he had his cane in one hand and his putter in the other hand. He says, I'm not able to hit as hard as I used to, but you know what? I'm going to putt. And he was putting. So this is a guy that's still giving back where Duran is having a charitable golf tournament, still at his age, in his condition, still. Right. He's there trying to give what he has, and he was. And I said, you go, Jerry, you go.
Right, I know it. He's something else. And sharp as a tack, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah,
still.
real sharp. Yeah. You got a grip when you shake your hand. You said, Jerry, you ain't got to squeeze my hand that hard, man. Come on.
Okay, that's Tim Barnett, our guest this week here on the KC Legends Show, and we've discussed a number of topics. This Chiefs upcoming game, big one in Tampa Bay, down in Tampa. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, Tampa beat us in the Super Bowl in Tampa, right? Mm-hmm. So this is an opportunity, and I'm sure the guys are looking at it this way. This is an opportunity to get back in there and show them that we can go into Tampa and win this game. We can go into Tampa and control the game and take over the game. And that's what I believe in my heart. And I think they can go. The guys believe it, and they can go in there. They're going to work hard. Spag going to get the defense together. EB's going to have that offense together. And Andy's going to have the team together, and it's going to work.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You know, some people looked at Indianapolis and called it a trap game. You hate to use those words, but as you said, you know, sometimes it's just human nature to be able to play to the level of your opponents. And they know that they're playing the GOAT this weekend. They know what that defense did to them prior. And
And
you think about this and this matchup. And one thing that both these quarterbacks are notorious for, pulling out wins at the end of a game.
Pulling out the wins and making the play and saying, put the game on my shoulders and I'll take over.
And they've been able to do that, both of them. If it comes down to that in the fourth quarter, we're in for an exciting game.
Yeah, I hope we're way ahead by that time. We don't have to go through that. But it's just going to be an exciting game. I know it is. I can't wait, actually. And, you know, as a former player, and you probably just the way as well, after a loss, you can't wait to the next game so you can erase that out of your mind. Now, the players have to erase that out of their mind and go to the next place in the next game. But as us, we'll hold this until that next game. You're still thinking about, man, I'll be telling my wife tomorrow, you know, if we had done this, we could have won. If we had done that, as Al Saunders used to say, you catch a 30-yard pass, Al say, if you could have gotten two more yards, Nick could have made that field goal. It was field goal range then. So that's the thing. So The more you can do. And I think we'll be ready.
You sound like a guy that still gets nervous.
Well, I get nervous and excited at the same time.
especially about football. You know, this is the best time of the year for me.
I
look forward to football. I can't wait. I'll watch college all day on Saturday and then watch NFL all day on Sunday. So this is my time of the year.
Well, Tim, I want to thank you for coming out and joining us here on the KC Legends Show. It's very insightful. Love your knowledge and your view on the game and the team.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate being here.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come up and get some sunglasses. All right, guys. That's going to do it for us out here today at Hollywood Casino at the Barstool Sportsbook. I'm Bill Maz. This is Sports Radio 810. This is WHB.